What's up, comic book fans? Pete here from Comic Books Transformed, where we talk about the adaptations of comic books into streaming shows and movies. I am here with my good friend, Brian, Mr. Coarse Hair over there. We just recorded our Invincible review, didn't we?
Yes, and a quick correction there. At the very end of the stream, I said that Angstrom Levy, the kind of one of the villain characters, was voiced by Wayne Brady. I was a guest. It's actually Sterling K. Brown. Just I thought of it instantly, but it was a little bit too late to get in there. So,
oh, I love Sterling K. Brown, man.
Yeah,
he's freaking awesome. He was in this movie, American Fiction, that I just watched, and he was really great in that. But he's great in a lot of things too, you know. So today we are like super super excited to talk about X-Men 97, the new animated streaming show on Disney Plus. Basically taking us right back to when, how old were you when the first X-Men cartoon came out?
That was what, 91?
I think it was 92.
92? It was 5 years. Yeah, 92. Yeah. So I was like 12, 13.
Yeah. Yeah. And then
no,
I
11. Sorry, I went the wrong way.
Yeah. So you were 11, you're a year older than me. I was 10. And this is pretty much one of the main things that got us into comic books.
Yeah, between this and Batman the Animated Series, and to a slightly lesser extent, the Spider-Man cartoon from around that time, that was the one of the main foundations of my comic book upbringing. I had read comics before that, particularly like just things you'd pick up in the newsstand, you know, just because that's where you got comics back then for me anyway. Yeah. But I never really stuck with anything to a degree until around I was this age and these shows were out, and it got me more interested.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. You mentioned picking up things in the newsstand. Did you ever go to Do Me a Flavor in Princess Bay? It was off of like Sagine, and it was like an ice cream store by the train station.
That sounds familiar, yeah.
That was my like comic book store that I went to when I was a kid, but it was just an ice cream shop that had a comic book rack in the front.
Yeah, that's I got most of my comics from a convenience store where my grandparents and uncle were buying cigarettes.
Right. Coincidentally, me too. You know, yeah. By my grandma's house too. Yeah, and what do you call it? There was Comic Attitudes in the Staten Island Mall.
Oh yeah, put a lot of stuff in there. Yep.
Of course, like we would eventually go on to like Jim Hanley's and Comic Book Jones, but in that same parking lot, they eventually did have a comic book store. I can't remember. I think it was called Sports Cards and Comics. And that was where I got a lot of my books, too.
Yeah, there was a store in Eltingville I used to go to, too, for a while. Possibly, probably before I knew you, but
yeah,
I think that closed down. And then we kind of migrated over to Jim Hanley's in Newdorf.
Right. So it's funny because I remember I picked up an issue, the first issue of X-Men Adventures, and I thought it was like the first X-Men comic issue. I was like, oh, my God, Mom, this is going to be so valuable. This is the first issue of X-Men. But it was just the fucking adaptation of the cartoon.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the changes and what is the same. So for this episode, there's no previously on X-Men.
I wouldn't rule out that we won't get that coming up.
Yeah.
I just think that there's too much to cover in a previously on X-Men for this.
Right, exactly. And I was thinking that because it's that 3D cell animation where they've made it look like it's the 90s animation, I think that like maybe it would be too jarring if they showed the 90s animation and then they did this. I don't know.
Yeah, I would think that they would have to recreate it, and that's just kind of more of a waste of resources, I think. They did do a pretty excellent job of recreating the intro. A lot of those, you know, those sequences in that are ripped straight from the original there, and there's some new added ones for the newer characters and things like that.
Exactly. Yeah, they added a sequence for Morph where they kind of showed him surrounded by shadows and he was getting freaked out. And then like Mr. Sinister's shadow kind of shows up at the end. And then they added Bishop, like Bishop and Morph are like the two new added characters. And yeah. I'm trying to think what else they changed. Like they changed Storm's haircut, obviously, for like the whole show. And it's different. But otherwise, like it's very similar where like Cyclops shoots his blast into the sky and Rogue like flips a Sentinel. I'm trying to think what else they change in that intro.
I mean, I thought it was cool too. That even the thing at the end where they have the characters kind of running at each other, the heroes and villains, like that was pretty much exactly the same.
Yes, yeah. I think they just like added like Bishop and stuff to that.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, the music itself is different too.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's funny. There, I didn't know about this when it was going on, but apparently there is some like song, like South American country song that sounds very, very much like that original theme song. And there was some legal disputes about it at some point in the past. I think we were even wondering if they were going to be able to use the theme song or not. But apparently one of two big points that that Kevin Feige said before they greenlit creating the show is that I'll only do this if we can get the original cast and we can get the theme song.
Hell yeah. So. And boy, like, even when they can't get the original cast, who they've cast to replace them are doing like an amazing job.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like I feel weird saying it, but some of the new cast members I almost like. So I think they sound better than the old cast members, which, you know, I feel wrong saying in a way. But yeah, Ray Chase absolutely nailed the Cyclops voice. Yes. Obviously, the previous voice of Cyclops. Oh my God, I forgot his name.
I'm sure you will look it up while we're talking.
But he passed away a couple years ago, so he's unable to reprise his role. We did talk about who passed away. There was a few others, I think. Magneto and maybe Charles.
Oh yeah, Charles. Like, because Morph pretends to be Charles in the beginning of this episode, and his voice does sound different.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's not just the fact that like Morph is impersonating him; it's like the actor sounds different.
Yeah.
And then like Rogue sounds different. It's kind of like when James Earl Jones was Darth Vader, where like you could tell the voice is different, but it's the same actor.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Rogue and Wolverine, they still sound good, but they do sound a little older. You can tell. I don't. Storm sounds fantastic. Storm and Beast sounded really, really good.
Yes. I agree with that point. And then Bishop is like a totally different voice too.
Yes, Bishop is a different voice from the original. I don't remember. I mean, he wasn't in that many episodes in the original, but
yeah. And see, guys, Brian hasn't seen the second episode yet. But I have, and Magneto's in the second episode. And
he's at the end of the first one as well.
Yeah, and what do you call it? He sounds just like that Magneto from the cartoon, too.
Yeah, and that is a new actor. But yeah, he does a great job as well.
Yeah. So this time around, we get another kind of POV character kind of moment where it starts off with Sunspot, Roberto da Costa. And he is captured by the Friends of Humanity. They're going to kill him. They have, like, Sentinel guns, basically, and they're going to just kill him. And just
well, like, no, they're going to sell him to somebody, which I think they're implying is Mr. Sinister.
Oh, okay.
They were capturing and selling mutants for a profit. That's what was going on there.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you're paying attention. You're also the one that caught the reference to friggin' gold balls or egg in this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he has like a bond with Jubilee, and he's captured. The X-Men free him, and then he just basically doesn't want to be on the team. He doesn't want to be associated with the X-Men.
Yeah, no, he has a very similar reaction to Jubilee in the beginning of the original series. Like, she's kind of new to being a mutant and doesn't really know what to do, doesn't want to leave her whole life behind, wants to just kind of be as they were, and you know, the X-Men come in and save her, and they eventually convince her to stay on there. And then, you know, Jubilee is basically saying, like, it's the best thing I ever did, pretty much.
Yeah. Are you a fan of Sunspot in the comics?
Oh, yeah. I love Sunspot. They've done a really great – ever since Jonathan Hickman put them on the Avengers for a while, him and Cannonball, and those characters really grew on me since then. I also love Sunspot in the recently completed X-Men Red. Yes, I'm a fan of Sunspot.
Nice, yeah. Ditto, like him and Cannonball's relationship is great. They're kind of like almost like Blue Beetle and Booster Gold, where they're these two buddies and they're kind of goofy. But, you know, they're just so fun in the comics. I don't think that we're going to see him and Cannonball in this. Cannonball was on the original cartoon as well, like – maybe in the background. You might have even seen him do a couple of things.
Yeah, I think he was in the background a few times. I don't know if he had a speaking role, but yeah, there were so many cameos in that old show.
Yeah, the old show, like, because X-Force was so big in the early 90s that they would always have like X-Force characters just like in the background, or like they might have like a little like one line kind of moment.
Yeah,
you know, like you'd see like Feral, and she was you know, prisoner in Genosha. Cable was all over the place, and he kind of was a main character. But then you'd see like Warpath and Domino. Yeah, Deadpool even too.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. But one thing that I think has maybe changed from the 90s is that the X-Men are a lot sexier, I think.
Yeah, this show, I mean, you know, this show is surprisingly horny.
Yes, yes, yes. And I'd hate to say this, but the first moment I realized it was horny was when they had Gambit making breakfast at the X-Mansion. And, you know, he's got this weird kind of 90s hairstyle. In the old version, he's got almost like kind of like a mullet where his like hair's kind of poofy. But in this, yep, it's like he's got the mullet and then like a long ass ponytail.
Yes.
Yes.
And he's wearing some like crop top and making breakfast or beignets or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. And he charges one and he's going to like throw it at like, I don't know, Cyclops or at Wolverine or something. And then yeah, Jean Grey takes it and like throws it out the window with her telekinesis.
Yes.
And then when they show Jean, it was weird too, because like she's pregnant and they do this shot where they like focus on her belly.
Yeah.
And like, look.
Yeah. No, they start with like a down up look, like they typically do when an attractive woman first introduced on screen.
Right.
It's kind of like sizing them up sort of. But yeah, it's like pregnant Jean, like, whoa, what's going on here?
Right. Yeah. It's like, oh yeah. But yeah, she was hot too. And I mean, everybody looks good. Everybody's like real lively and energetic. It's weird because like in the comics, at least up until like, you know, for the past 5 years, we've had the Krakoa era and everybody's horny in that and everyone's having sex with everyone. And I feel like it's kind of translated into this show, but like the only way it could in like a kid's cartoon.
Yeah. So I think this has a lot to do with the censors back in the 90s, actually. Like there was a lot of things you just couldn't do in a kid's cartoon. There was, you know, in a programming aimed at children. Yes. And I think they have a lot less restraints here. And this feels a bit more adult.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think you can make an argument about What If, because this animation is the same as What If, that there's kind of like some cell shading on top of it that makes it look a little more like the old, that traditionally hand-drawn animation. And I think you can make an argument that What If is sort of can be a kiddish show. They do have some darker things and themes in there sometimes that I think are questionable for kids, but this definitely does not feel like it's for kids at all.
No. And one of the things that like really accentuates that point is that Professor X is dead. Now, we thought that he was dying of a disease and he went up to the Shi'ar ship and then taken to the Shi'ar homeworld to be with Lilandra. But in this, there's flat out saying that he was killed by Gyrick.
Yeah, I've never watched an episode from season 5. So yeah. I've never watched the finale of the show.
Yeah. I think it was like he was dying of a disease and he was like bedridden and he says goodbye to all the X-Men. It's this sort of like heartfelt, touching moment. And then I think he gets like beamed up to a Shi'ar ship and then he leaves. And they're like, what are we going to do next? But it's positive. But in this, it's like he's straight up assassinated.
Yeah. And it kind of makes Morph's little turn there as the professor a little morbid.
Yeah. His humor was always kind of fucked up though in the show.
Yeah, no, it was. I mean, it's really, this is like a week or something, maybe 2 weeks after that finale. Like this is real close to that. Like a point in this episode is that Cyclops receives the death certificate from Professor X. You know, that doesn't take that long of amount of time. So this is very, very much a direct continuation.
Wow, Morph is fucked up. Wait a minute. So like Jean's pregnancy is like really quick then.
So maybe it is more than that, because I don't remember them saying that she was pregnant previously, and we don't know how far along she is, but she's definitely presenting that she's like further along.
Oh yeah.
So maybe I'm wrong, and it is a few months, and it's not weeks, but it seems like it's very close to when it was.
Yeah. Well, when we're talking about changes from the original show and like differences in time, one thing that was very interesting in this episode was they show a portrait of the first class of X-Men, which is the original team of X-Men of Beast, Iceman, Jean Grey, Cyclops, and Angel.
Oh, Angel, yes, yes.
Right. And so it was interesting because they do show that exact team around the Professor, but I know Iceman shows up in the cartoon at one point. Angel is in the cartoon, but the way they treat it, it's like he was never an X-Man in the original cartoon.
Yeah, so the episode when he shows up is when Apocalypse is kind of recruiting the Four Horsemen, sort of. And it's Rogue that first meets him, I believe, and maybe Cable. And understandably, they may not know him, but I don't think they ever have Jean, Cyclops, or Beast interact with him. So it's kind of – I'm not really sure. Beast was already in jail at that point, so he definitely couldn't have at that point. And yeah. Cyclops and Jean were somewhere else during that initial Muir Island stuff in the original show.
Okay, yeah. So I guess you're saying that basically you could say he was on the original team,
and just the members that joined later just don't know him.
Okay, I'll buy that. Yeah, okay. And so, you know, he is in that picture, and the team's been around for a while. There's been different versions of the team, but then of course we have some things that never change, like Cyclops and Wolverine butting heads.
Yes.
Right. And so I think it's the first time in the episode where we get Cyclops doing that thing where his visor goes like, you know, yeah. Like his shades glow. Cause it's like, hey, you want to fuck with me? And his shades glow. He's like arguing with Wolverine on the basketball court. And Wolverine gets this one really good burn. He's like, the worst thing about Charles being dead or whatever is us being stuck with you or something like that.
Yeah. That was rough, man.
That was a low blow. Yeah. Wolverine's pretty fucking mean, man.
Yeah, no, it's interesting too in the show that both Wolverine and Gambit kind of serve the same role almost. They're both kind of like these anti-authority kind of characters, and they're both pretty, you know, they have a lot of friction with Cyclops, who is kind of a little more, you know, Boy Scouty, straight and narrow.
Yeah.
Military style leader, sort of.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that for a second. And I've also run out of little tickers on the bottom too. So Cyclops, you and I'm pretty sure, I won't speak for you, but I'll say that Cyclops is my favorite X-Men. Yeah, Cyclops is actually my favorite Marvel hero.
Yeah.
So I love Cyclops. There is a very vocal part of the fan base that dislikes Cyclops, and I think he's like lame, or he's like too much of a goody-goody.
Yeah, there's a lot of comparisons to Cyclops and how people view Superman. They just think they're just kind of the boring leader, by-the-book leader types that don't do anything wrong here. I think that Cyclops is a really great, interesting character. He has been one of my favorite X-Men. He has been my favorite X-Men for a very long time.
Yeah.
I think they do a really interesting job here with kind of showing the kind of burden of leadership that he feels. You know, obviously, Jean is pregnant. They're about to start a family. And the world's in a better place in terms of mutant and human relations, but it's not perfect. And Cyclops is very torn between feeling the need to keep the X-Men going and lead them and, you know, going off and starting this family with Jean and leaving this life behind. And they do a really good job of having the weight of leadership weigh on him in this episode.
Right. And that's a big part, and you'll kind of see in episode two that like it's the idea of like Scott and Jean wanting to leave, and then it's like they feel like they can't leave because of the team. And Wolverine, he makes a point, like it's kind of like he knows what's coming, and you know there's going to be conflict. But Wolverine in this episode makes a really great point. He's like, you know, we're always dealing with Magneto, Sentinels, and I can't remember what he says is the third thing, but he lists like three things that are really difficult to deal with. And it's like, you know, would you want to raise a kid in that?
Yeah.
And it's part of the X-Men mythology that essentially, like, if you are born a mutant, if you have mutant parents, you're always going to be facing this kind of stuff. You can't like escape it, you know?
Yeah. And they have the double-edged sword of them both being mutants as well. And bringing a mutant child into the picture here.
Yeah.
I'm still very curious is if this is Jean or not. Mm-hmm. Because the whole you know, obviously in the comics, there, you know, Cyclops' first child is not with Jean.
Brian, I so wish you watched that fucking second episode.
Oh, goddammit!
Because I really want to fucking talk to you about that second episode. What I'll tell you without spoiling anything, but maybe giving you some hope, is that that second episode, I feel like, is just as good, if not better, than the first episode. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, if it's not clear, we both loved this show. And I was a little worried about it after the trailer, because I've mentioned many times in this show before that I'm a little iffy on 3D animation shows. I just think the backgrounds are kind of generally empty, and I feel like you could do so much more in 2D animation and throw in all those background characters like we were talking about before with X-Force. But yeah. Other than a few little wrinkles here and there and certain movements, it really does look really good, honestly. Like, you can't always tell that it is that 3D what-if style of animation. I honestly am very pleased with it overall. And I think the choreography they do here and the way the backgrounds do look very traditionally animated, which is like the static backgrounds, and they have the characters moving across them. Right. So the backgrounds are not 3D. But I think it looks fantastic, and they had some really great choreographed fight scenes in this episode.
Yes, you don't say. I mean, the sequence where the Sentinel attacks the Blackbird and like rips open the roof and then grabs Cyclops out of the Blackbird, that was like straight out of like a anime.
Yeah, that was, yeah, because he's like turning and everything's moving. It did have a very anime feel to it, and I absolutely fucking loved. You know, all the X-Men are kind of getting together there as they're falling out of the plane. The flyers are picking up the other ones. Everyone's kind of doing everything. And Cyclops just goes like full, like bullet down, and uses his optic blast to soften the blow, which was my favorite thing in the whole episode.
Yes, yes. He had a lot of like badass moments, even though he's kind of cheesy and stuff. In the initial fight with the Friends of Humanity, he's like blasting the floor so he can move himself around. Then he's blasting people. In that sequence, he uses his blast to stop himself from crashing into the ground. You know, there's a definite like evolution to the way they use their powers in this show. Like, you mentioned this in our little chat thread that like Morph turns into Archangel so he can fly. Yeah, you know, and I think that's great. And in the second episode, there's even more cool stuff with like Morph changing into different characters too. But there's definitely like they have like thought about this, and they've learned since that first initial show in the 90s. And it's like, instead of just like Cyclops just blasts a guy, Wolverine just slashes his claws at some metal thing. It's like they're using their powers in different creative ways.
Yeah, so that goes back to the censors comment there. So like, you know, you couldn't show blood. You couldn't show anybody taking too much damage. You couldn't show a villain dying. They had to show that if after someone was hit, they were just hurt and they got up and moved afterwards. There were all these things, and I don't think they have to adhere to that as much. I don't think we're going to get like gore and blood and anything like that here, but I think that we will see a little bit more of a mature show here. Another thing too is from the trailer, there was that scene where we saw like Gambit like jumps on Wolverine's back, and it looked kind of funny. I'm like, why is this? But then when you see the show, you see that Gambit charges Wolverine's claws, and then he stabs a Sentinel and it explodes. Another fantastic little detail that I really loved. And not to mention that Wolverine bounces off of Morph, who's transformed into Blob. It's just great. They did a really good job of paying attention to the details and setting up these interesting little visuals in this.
Isn't it Master Mold that like he blows up with his claws? Master Mold,
yes, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, one other thing is that Bolivar Trask, he's been in hiding since like the events of the original series. He tried to replace Senator Kelly's brain with like a Sentinel brain. I don't know if they showed that in the original cartoon or not, but he's been in hiding. And then he has like his own Master Mold, and they're trying to make more Sentinels. The X-Men fight the Sentinels, and they're kicking their ass. Like, Beast goes into a Sentinel and starts controlling it like it's a mech suit, right? Right.
That was awesome.
Yeah, but then there comes this amazing moment where Cyclops says, "Give them the forecast," and you're like, "Wait a minute, they haven't shown Storm," and then Storm shows up, and dude, I was like on the verge of tears when that happened because the music.
Yeah,
was so
it was
good.
Awesome. It was a great Storm moment. They're really setting up. They said in interviews that they're really setting up Storm and Cyclops is the lead characters in the show, and they're doing a fantastic job of it so far.
Yeah, let me ask you this, man. When are you going to watch that second episode?
As soon as we're done here.
Okay, good. Okay, good, 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 good.
I asked you if we were covering one because I thought I might have been able to squeeze it in, but I thought that you didn't watch it, so I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna bother because I didn't want to. I thought we'd be on the same level, but I could have watched it. So,
I'm sorry. Yeah. So I really want to talk to you about episode two. Let's go with the final part of this episode though. So after they defeat the Sentinels, Master Mold and stuff, then you get the X-Men returning to the mansion. And we find out that Magneto's there. He has inherited everything from Professor X, including the X-Men themselves.
Yeah, just as Cyclops and Jean are about to announce something, which we all believe is them leaving the X-Men, Magneto shows up and it's like, oh, all this stuff's mine.
Yes, yes.
And they have some great visuals there, too. It's like he walks in, you hear the voice. You see him fixing the portrait that fell on the ground before you even see him. And then it finally pans up to Magneto, and it's a nice little like cliffhanger moment.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and the second episode has a lot of Magneto in it. So I just really want to see what you think about it. Was there anything else you want to say about this episode?
No, just that I'm over the moon how good this is and how happy I am watching it. It absolutely lived up to my expectations, and I will be very excited to watch this. This season or whatever you want to call it.
Yes. This was the best Marvel animated for MCU, the best MCU animated thing so far.
Hands down. I might even argue this might be the best Disney Plus thing that they've done. we'll see. It's way too early to say that. Way too early.
Yes. Like, okay, so I'll throw in a little bit. I'll get on my soapbox real quick before we wrap this up. But I was going to say that, like, I think that we are so conditioned just because, like, through Twitter and social media in general, we're so conditioned to complain about, like, certain types of media and things that happen in media. And right now, it's so like, oh, Marvel's lame. Marvel, you know, they've dropped the ball. They're you know, and that becomes the dialogue. And so many people make money off of making videos about how much Marvel sucks now. And you don't really get a chance to like evaluate something for what it's worth and to be like, okay, was this objectively good or was it not? I think that like for us, because this show, it was so important to our development, it's like such a big part of our childhood, we were going to be excited. But I do think there absolutely was the potential for this to be very lame. Like this could have been just like, let's just have a whole bunch of references, but it's not that. It's like the references are there, but they are like essentially like, okay, let's continue the story. Let's see where this goes. And I think it's fantastic so far.
Yeah, totally agree. I'm very happy with the first episode. I'm going to go watch the second one right now. I don't know when we're going to talk about it on here, but you know, hopefully soon.
Yeah. DeRay, I'm sorry. This is a don't. Oh, I'm sorry. Dante. Yes, and he's saying DeRay fly as hell. Is that a voice actor on the show?
I don't know.
Well, that could be Storm or Bishop or
no, I don't think so.
Well, I'll tell you, the Storm friggin' actress was fantastic. Yeah. That was my favorite moment of the show, was when Storm called down the lightning on the Sentinels. There's some really great Storm stuff. I don't want to keep spoiling the second episode for you. I just want you to watch it. I want to see your message to me about what you think. Yeah. All right, guys, we're going to get going. I think that what we're going to do is we're going to record once a week and we're going to cover like the Invincible episode that week. And then we're going to cover the X-Men episode that week for the next couple of weeks. If you are just tuning into Comic Books Transform for the first time, make sure that you guys subscribe to us on YouTube or follow us on Spotify. And we'll be here every week covering these two fantastic animated shows, Invincible and X-Men 97. We will see you guys real soon.